I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Australia are away.
Sit back and enjoy the stroke play of Meg Lanning.
This is excellent batting by Ash Gardner.
Donaldson strikes again. She's on a hat-trick. She comes at Molyneux. Catch is taken by Perry.
The Australian women's cricket team win their fifth T20 World Cup title in front of a magical crowd at the MCG.
Hello and welcome to The Scoop. We are the cricket podcast dedicated to the women's game. I'm Emily Collin.
And I'm Laura Jolly.
And joining us on the show today is Jess Johnson, who seems to be a woman of the hour. JJ is a little bit everywhere at the moment, which we absolutely love because, as we say, she is one of the Scoop favourites. But before we get to JJ, LJ, you're in South Africa, so want to hear all about how you've settled in so far. We've had a practice match against India yesterday. Give us the whole rundown on what's been happening so far in the week or so that you've been there, and yeah, the practice match yesterday.
Yeah, it's hard to believe that we've almost been here for a week. It's gone really quickly, but team settling in nicely. They've had a chance to go up Table Mountain, check out the really awesome views up there. Most of us took the cable car up, which was hairy enough in itself, particularly for those with a fear of heights. But a few brave souls, including Meg and Moons, walked up, which
pretty unsurprising.
Really tough going. It's pretty relentless from what they said, but unsurprising that those two did it with ease. After that, was straight into training, had a couple of sessions in Stellenbosch and Newlands, and then that warm-up yesterday against India.
Nice. And so, yeah, as we will hear from JJ a bit later on, it looked like it was a bit of a tough wicket to bat on. So when you were watching the Aussies bat, were you sort of a bit shocked with how it was all panning out?
Yeah, I think quickly figured out that it was pretty tough going on that deck. Shikhar Pandey bowled really well front up and got Meg and T-Mac out, and then the really unfortunate run out with Pez via a direct hit kind of left Australia 3 for 10, and no one really got going until Wolf just came out and hit those three sixes and shared that really good partnership with JJ. And to be honest, once they got to 130, you almost felt like it would probably be enough based on how hard it looked out there. And Australia then bowled really well and came away with a comprehensive win. But I would say that it was a pretty worn looking wicket. I don't know if it was one that was left over from the SA20, the other stuff they've been hosting at that ground. The one for Friday, the weekend's matches, was covered up. Hopefully a much newer, fresher deck, because I think there were a few people floating around that were a little concerned that might be the sort of thing that's being dished up for the tournament, which Brown said, everyone calls it a poor wicket, but it's only a poor wicket for the batters. It's a great wicket for the bowlers.
Well said, Darcy.
She was loving it, but I think for the tournament's sake, it would be good to have something that's conducive to entertaining T20 cricket.
Definitely. And did it look like was Darcy, did it look like she was bowling well and looking pretty threatening yesterday? Came away with 4 wickets.
Yeah, fair bit of pace. And yeah, I think for conditions that were really suiting, a bit of extra turn and was, slow, it was hard to get any pace off the wicket. It was, she bowled really well. Her extra speed was probably what you needed in those conditions. And interestingly, Australia didn't bowl much spin.
Yeah.
So yeah, they did that without using Wolf or Alana King. So I think both teams maybe being a little bit keeping a few cards up their sleeves, knowing there's a good chance they might meet in the finals.
Yeah, makes plenty of sense. And so, like, how have the Aussies looked in the nets? Is it, the session's been pretty intense? And any clues on who we might see lining up in the 11 for that first game?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I think the big decisions will be around that bowling attack, exactly who makes it. I wouldn't expect too many changes from the best 11 that was being played against Pakistan. Probably the main question is who makes way for Midge coming back in.
Yeah.
Whether that might be Annabelle Sutherland or one of the other bowlers probably comes down to the conditions a bit. So that's the big call to be made. But then, you know, Wolf put a hand up with the bat yesterday, and if a few other people get a bowl tomorrow, that could create a few questions too. The good thing is Midge is looking like she'll play the second warm-up against Ireland. She kept against India. So I'd say she is on track to actually come back and play against New Zealand, which is very exciting.
Has she been batting in the nets?
Yeah, she has been. She had a good hit out with Moons. She did plenty of keeping. I think the one thing holding her back is the running between the wickets, which is why I think keeping is all right because she doesn't have to run or change direction a heap. The running, the quick twos was maybe the one thing she wasn't quite there for, looking at the first session they had earlier in the week. So that might be what she's going to test out tomorrow against Ireland.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so another big warm-up against Ireland. I wonder how Kim Garth is feeling coming up against a few former teammates of hers.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if she gets a go with the ball. These warm-ups can be a bit loose with how many players you can use. So every chance she'll get a chance to bowl her old teammates, and I'm sure there'll be a bit of banter out there.
And do you reckon, like, how do you reckon the Aussies are going to approach this, the second warm-up against Ireland? It's on a different pitch, right? Maybe a bit more of a high-scoring affair?
Yeah, if it's anything like the one between England and South Africa, it could be really high-scoring. England made 7 for 246 and
that South Africa made
9 for 229 in reply. So,
oh my goodness.
Couldn't be more different in terms of conditions and goal line from the Australia-India game, really. So that could be very interesting if that is the same pitch that Australia are using tomorrow.
That sounds like it is not a good pitch to be a bowler on.
No. When we told Darcy about the England score line.
Bit flat.
A little concerned. That will be interesting. And I think they'll just hopefully look to get another really good hit out into the batters, particularly if the conditions are different to what they saw yesterday, and maybe try a few different bowling options to the ones they brought out against India.
Oh, very good. Very good. Oh, well, it's all getting very close. So reminder to you fans, time zone isn't the friendliest. First T20 game of this World Cup is on Sunday morning at 4 a.m. You will be able to watch it live on Foxtel and free on KO. And of course, you will be able to watch highlights, scores, and everything that LJ is seeing on the CA Live app and cricket.com.au, of course. But for now, we'll let you get back to listening to a great chat with Jess Jonathan, who's up and about in Cape Town. Jess Jonathan, an absolute favourite of the Scoop. Thank you so much for joining us from South Africa. JJ, we hope you've settled in well to South Africa. We can't wait to hear all about it. But firstly, tell us how the trip over was. We know there was a pretty quick turnaround for you from going straight from the awards and a long flight to South Africa. So tell us how the journey was.
Yeah, it was a pretty long journey. But in saying that, I think most people sort of managed to get some good hours of sleep on the way over, which was good. I somehow managed about 6 hours, which I wasn't expecting. But I think poor Kingy was the only one that didn't really sleep, and she was suffering for it. But I don't think so. We sort of had, like, obviously, we had the Australian Cricket Awards, but then we didn't fly out till the following evening. So we were trying to kill time sort of all through that next day. And there was a lot of aimless wandering around, a lot of time in cafes and coffee shops. But it was nice to get over here. We sort of got over, landed about 4:30 in the afternoon, and about an hour bus trip from there to the hotel. So by the time we got to the hotel, it was time for dinner. And then people pretty much went to bed, and there were a few early get-ups the next day. But everyone's all sort of settled in now.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah, I randomly went to a shark exhibition at a museum to try and kill time before that flight.
So random of you, LJ.
It's very random.
I thought you'd have your days filled up with media commitments, LJ.
just wandering museums looking at sharks. But before we get on to the World Cup stuff, we reckon you might have helped launch Mabel's career as a media megastar. What were your reflections on meeting Mabel, and what does it mean that she's such a huge fan of yours?
Yeah, she's a genuine superstar. I was fortunate enough to meet her at a player appearance with Marnus and Uzi a few months prior, and she was the best on ground for that appearance as well. It was sort of some cricket blast promotion and whatnot. And yeah, so I was lucky that I'd met her already. And when I was told that she was going to be there that night and I was going to be walking the carpet with her, I had in my head, I was like, oh, I really hope it's this girl from that appearance. And it was, and I was actually so happy. She made my night. She was, yeah, she's a genuine rock star. It just makes, I don't know, it's a real feel-good moment when you've got somebody that looks up to you and sort of, is such a massive fan. And she's so polite, so charismatic. Yeah. And, a genuine career for her. She's got a really bright future. So I'm really fortunate to be a small part of it.
Oh, yeah, watch out, world. Mabel is coming. And JJ, I guess in a kind of funny way, does it make you reflect how far the game's come, that there's a young 9-year-old who has grown up watching the likes of Marnus and Uzi, but also you and your team, and she has you as her favorite player?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Like I think about it quite regularly that when I came through, I didn't play Woolworths Cricket Blast. I didn't have a go or come and try stuff. I just sort of played the game because I watched it on TV, watched the men's test teams and whatnot. That was just sort of what did in summer, you watch cricket. And I look at the opportunities that sort of that young girls have these days, particularly in the genuine pathway for that. And it's sort of to be a part of sort of that trailblazing sort of era, I guess, to go towards fully professional women's teams. It's still pretty surreal, but something that, it's sort of looking back on and seeing the media exposure of our game and how many girls in our team, I guess, are now sort of genuine household names. It's not the few and far between or only three people are sort of someone's favorite player. It's like Grace Harris is someone's favorite player, or Alana King is someone else's. So it's like it's really cool to see. It's really nice to be a part of.
And we can see in the background Stellenbosch and how awesome it is. This is your first time in South Africa.
Ooh.
Looks like you guys have really lucked out with 2 weeks starting out in Stellenbosch.
Yeah, it's absolutely beautiful. Also, around about an hour out of Cape Town city itself. It's absolutely stunning. It's sort of, we've got a few wineries quite close by, which I think makes a few of the girls quite happy, especially on a day off. They do a little cheeky wine tour, but the weather and the climate here really just reminds me of being back at home, and I felt really comfortable over here so far. And I mean, even more so comfortable that I guess I'm hanging out with my mate Gracie Harris quite a bit as well. So we sort of shout each other dinner every second night. It's like, oh, it's my turn tonight. It's such a beautiful place. And just even in the bus rides, all the mountains, and going up Table Mountain a few days ago and seeing it here, it's just absolutely incredible.
Oh, sounds awesome. Now tell us, JJ, has Grace eaten anything rogue yet? I think she said she wanted to eat like wildebeest or something.
she hasn't got that far yet, but okay. I think she's had the steak pretty much every night here. Okay. So I think she's enjoying having quite a bit of red meat. But who knows? It's still early days. We're going to venture into Stellenbosch for dinner tonight, so we'll see what's on the menu for her tonight. Who knows with that girl? She's not afraid to try things.
Oh, she's a riffer.
As long as she gets it out of the way before actual proper game time, then I don't really care.
Just as long as she's not ill of any games, let her go.
Correct.
And you mentioned the trip up Table Mountain. JJ, were you in the cable car crew or the walking crew?
I was one of the smart ones. I was definitely in the cable car. To be fair, though, I think Grace was close to pushing me out because she was getting that anxious and that stressed. I turned around at one point and her hand was almost on my back and I'm like, don't touch me. But because the bottom of the cable car itself actually rotated, so you got to see the whole view, so people weren't sort of cramming onto one side and whatnot. But sort of when we were told that the walk up the mountain would have been around about an hour and a half or whatnot, I was sort of like, oh no, I'm not sure about that. And Grace, with her body, she sort of was already ruled out, and a few of the girls were ruled out, and I was like, well, I'm not gonna let Gracie sort of go in the cable car on her own. So I was like, oh, I'll go in there. And then quite a few others sort of dropped out. And I think there were a few regrets from some of the walkers. They sort of pulled up a bit sore. Some were quite sunburnt. but I mean, Meg and Flags were in typical fashion, best on ground. They almost set up.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A world record going up there, and weren't
it probably ran
probably. But yeah, it was so nice going up and down the cable car, and you could still do a fairly decent walk when you were up the top, and you got some really good views.
How good? Yeah, it looks bloody unreal. And JJ, you had your first hit out against India yesterday. Good win for the Aussies. Give us the rundown. It seemed like a bit of a tricky pitch, but you came in and made some crucial runs. How was it batting alongside Wolfie out there?
Yeah, well, to be fair, when the batting order got sent out, I was like, oh, great. I get to put the feet up again today. Just have to go out there. And I was sort of told that I'd bowl a few overs of the day as well. And I was like, okay, great. Like, it's going to be good. I get to watch our top order, make some runs and enjoy some time in the middle. And yeah, it didn't quite work out that way. I really enjoyed having a batting opportunity, to be fair. It was pretty unexpected, but sort of thought, well, if some of the best batters in the world are struggling, then if I can get any run, that'd be great. But yeah, it was quite a tricky pitch. It sort of popped a little bit. There was a lot of turn on offer sort of when you slowed the ball up. And I was saying to Ash Gardner when we were out in the field, I was like, the pitch even looked like it should have played the way that it did. So it sort of was like a test for your brain to try and tell yourself to do something other than what you're normally used to doing on something that you see. So yeah, it was sort of when Wolf and I were out there, we sort of were thinking about, oh, well, just try and score whatever runs that we can and try and hold our shape and play straight and try and utilize the left and right hand combination with there was a shorter boundary. So, we pretty much were able to execute that. And that second last over, I think it was, where Wolf just sort of teed off, hit three sixes in a row. And it was really cool to see at the other end that she had a clear plan and bowler just bowled it in the exact spot that she wanted it. So yeah, really vital run. So that 130 sort of was probably equivalent to about a 160 on that wicket.
Nice one. And I think this is your sixth T20 World Cup.
Tell me I'm old, LJ, without telling me I'm old.
Oh, they come around every 2 years. They're really regular.
Yeah, that's still 12 years, mate. That's still 12 years.
Do you still remember your first and what that was like?
I do still remember my first. Yeah, it was we were in Sri Lanka. I was batting 11 for most of it until the semi-finals. And like it was such a blur. But yeah, I remember just being so in awe of what was going on and how an ICC event was sort of run. And I remember that final, particularly the last over, that I was for some silly reason, I was moved from short fine leg to cover. And Alex Blackwell, who's a gun cover fielder, was moved to short fine leg. And I had a catch, like, hit straight to me and I dropped it. I dropped an absolute sit. And I was like, oh, no. I was like, here we go. I've done a Herschel Gibbs and dropped the World Cup here. And then Aaron Osborne bowled a waist high fully and it went for a no. It was a no ball. And, there was just a lot going on. And we somehow, we managed to win by, like, 3 or 4 runs. And, yeah, it was pretty surreal. Like I was pretty pumped with that one because it was Jodie Field's first World Cup back after tearing her hammy off the bone and sort of doing it twice sort of thing. So being my state captain at that time as well and to share that moment with her, that was pretty special.
Oh, very good. And JJ, we know you do love your one day cricket, but tell us what you think is special about T20 World Cups and what makes them so hard to win.
I think the shorter the format sort of brings teams closer together. I think for sometimes sort of one person can have an absolute standout of a day and almost take the game away from you. And we've seen that across the board. We've had people like Jamari Adepatu scoring rapid hundreds. We've seen Harmon Precourt do the same. And yeah, so I think like it brings, there's world-class players in every team. So all it takes is one or maybe two of those to sort of have a standout day and your back can be up against the wall. And for me, like I love that aspect of it. I love that with the batters always coming at you as a bowler and you're having to find different ways to try and take wickets or stem the flow of runs. And yeah, it's always high pressure, high octane stuff that, yeah, it's sort of, it's not easy to win. And it's not easy to win multiple games in a row. So yeah, you got to really be on your game every single game. There's no such thing as an easy match.
It feels like the women's game just keeps coming along in leaps and bounds. Do you think this tournament will be the most hotly contested yet?
I think so, to be fair. I think a lot of it will depend on how the conditions play. So I think sort of if they're quite on the slower side, it's later in the summer over here, later in their season. So the wickets seem a little bit tired at the moment. So I think with it being slower, it'll sort of, a few of us have sort of said already, it'll remind us a bit of the West Indies World Cup in 2018, that the wickets were on the slower side. So you might not see some really high scoring games, but yeah, there'll be a lot of close matches, I think, from that point of view. And yeah, it'll bring a lot of the teams quite close together. There'll be no flat track bullies, nothing like that. So I think, it'll take a lot of versatility. I think the teams with the most versatility will probably come out on top.
Yeah, okay, interesting. Yeah, and like I guess on a similar note, as you were saying, like there's such small margins in T20, like what's kind of been the messages from Shell and Meg that like what's going to be the focus for you guys and what do you think you really need to nail to go deep into this tournament?
Well, we've focused a lot on our fielding and our athleticism as a group as well. So trying to save as many runs as we can in the field and try and when we're batting, try and steal as many twos as possible. We know we can score boundaries when needed. We know we can take the professional singles, but statistically, T20 matches are won by less than eight runs. So we sort of think that if we can steal a couple in the field by dive stops or chase downs or whatnot, as well as pick up a few extra sort of when we're batting and running between wickets, and then we've got those extra runs are sort of in our ledger. So trying to do that and then trying to make sure that we, as a bowling group as well, we feel like we've got most aspects covered, that we just try and bowl to our strengths and utilise the conditions that back slow balls, back bounces, and just trust your plan A is good enough, and then having something else up your sleeve. So we're not trying to reinvent the wheel, but those small things that we feel like we can gain an advantage on, particularly in the field and running our twos.
Yeah, nice. And for you personally, JJ, like what are you focusing on in that? How have you found the conditions for spin so far? And yeah, what are you kind of mentality going in with?
I'm going in there to compete and to win. Yeah, I'm always up for the fight, always want the ball in my hand. So far the wickets, yeah, they've taken a little bit of turn, which I mean, Grace rips me a bit whenever I turn one. She seems shocked. So I sort of get back into her a little bit. Yeah. I was like, well, fine, just keep charging down the wicket, mate, and I'll get your wicket every time.
Yeah, you will.
But no, it's all friendly banter. But yeah, I found it quite nice sort of having to try and have some subtle changes of pace and not sort of letting batters settle. I've really enjoyed it so far. Yeah, I sort of can't wait for those first games to come around. And I don't envy the selectors. I don't envy Meg and Shell trying to pick our final 11 for every game. Got some genuine match winners, and I just hope that I'm one of them that's in it and we get to hold that trophy at the end of the month.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And how have the net sessions been? Has everyone like sort of come out like ready and raring to go, just with like heaps of energy, and anyone sort of standing out who's looking particularly destructive?
Yeah, the net sessions have been great. There's been the bowlers have challenged the batters and vice versa. I mean, you can't go past the way that Grace and Annabelle Sutherland are hitting it at the moment. They sort of come in whilst others are sort of struggling at different times. They just come in and just absolutely seem to pogo it from ball one. And it's so exciting to see that. I think like seeing that they're hitting our bowlers and some of the best bowlers in the world for runs like that, I just can't wait to see what they're capable of and what they can do during this tournament.
Oh yeah, it's going to be so exciting. And I guess on a little bit of a separate note, JJ, we've got the Women's Premier League auction around the corner. How are you feeling about it? And yeah, what do you kind of think about the current state of the women's game? It seems like it's kind of a juncture, and yeah, what do you think about the direction it's maybe about to head in?
Yeah, it's super exciting, to be fair. Obviously, yeah, it's going to be a massive thing for anybody who's going to be a part of it. Like, it'd be silly for anyone not to have entered that auction. The timing of the auction's not ideal, in the sense that it's sort of at the start of a World Cup, and yeah, it could create for a few awkward sort of moments across teams, within teams, but we've addressed it as a group, and we sort of know that our main focus and our main driver is winning this World Cup. That obviously, yeah, being part of that WPL will be an added bonus for a lot of people, and I sort of see it as it's a huge step, like, and I'd love to be a part of it, but equally I know it's quite challenging after seeing with the men's game as well, yeah, that some of the quality of players that miss out in the men's edition, and you sort of think, well, how's that happened? For me as a spinner personally, I sort of think it'll be quite challenging, because India do have a lot of talented spinners anyway, and there are a lot of talented spinners sort of worldwide too. But I mean, I'm hopeful, as anybody would be. At the same time, I'm not going to let that dictate sort of what my worth or my value is to the game and to our Australian team as well. So yeah, it'd be definitely be an added bonus and something that I think everybody's relishing and wanting to have the opportunity to be a part of.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. That's a good approach. And is it kind of crazy to think that within like 2 years, like, you kind of feel like the game could be completely different? Like, there could be different kind of leagues cropping up around the world, and like, your lives could just be looking pretty different to what they are now.
Yeah, definitely. I think, to be honest, it's about time there's a WPL. It probably realistically would have loved for it to happen a couple of years ago. In saying that, it's sort of the old better late than never type mentality. But yeah, it's going to change the game globally. Yeah. I like the idea that associate nations have to be contracted and have to be out in the field as well. Yeah. I know Cricket Australia trialled something like that during the early editions of the WBBL, which I think it didn't quite work out the way that they sort of planned. I think it was a great idea to have some members of an associate nation attached to one of the franchises for a certain period of time. But I think the idea of making them have to be out on the field and whatnot adds that extra element to it. And I mean, you can train and be a part of setups as much as you want, but best way that you improve and gain better understanding and knowledge is by actually playing and being out in the field and being exposed to those conditions and those situations and scenarios. So I really love that aspect of it. Yeah. And I really hope that other sort of franchises or other competitions around the world follow suit, because that's the only way that our game's going to continue to grow globally, is by having the associate nations included in those things. You don't want the better nations or the better teams to continue getting better whilst the others are sort of struggling to try and keep up.
Love it Really well said, JJ. And finally, a pretty stupid question that you might have seen to finish off. We asked a couple of the girls before you left to South Africa what their African spirit animal is, so gonna ask you now, if like you could be an African animal, what do you think you would be?
I would probably be an elephant.
Elephant, okay. Why?
Yeah, just sort of mosey on around, sort of a bit underrated, I think. People sort of lean on you if they need something. They're known to have quite good and long memories.
They're smart. So, elephants are smart.
Yeah, correct. So I think I'm known to be, well, I've been told that I'm a bit of a nerd, so I'd probably have to be the elephant.
Good thing. Love it. Elephant, JJ, love it. That's perfect. Jess, always a pleasure to chat to you. Thank you so much for making the time. We can't wait to watch you and the girls go out against New Zealand on Sunday morning our time. Wishing you all the best for the first game and the whole tournament. Can't wait to watch. Thanks, JJ.
Gotcha.
He leads away. Australia are away.
Sit back and enjoy the stroke play of Meg Lanning.
This is excellent batting by Ash Gardner.
Jonathan strikes again.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.